Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. You tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts and worldwide at WCUW.org.
Vegan Nation is sponsored in part by St. Croix Beach Massage, advocating social justice for all living creatures. Massage on the beach, at your rental villa, or at the historic Club Comanche Hotel St. Croix, because your tropical vacation should be filled with relaxation. Online at massagestcroix.com.
The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this station nor its management. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. In today's show, we are joined by Claire Mann, a vegan psychologist based in Sydney, Australia. Claire is also a communications trainer, and she's the author of the newly released book, Vistopia, The Anguish of Being Vegan in a Non-Vegan World.
Hi, Marlene.
Hi, Claire.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Welcome to Canberra, which is the capital of the Australian Capital Territory, where the Parliament Houses are. We're down here for a few days, so I'm not at home at the moment.
Oh, that's exciting. And you live in Sydney?
I do, that's right.
Okay. Oh, well, I hope you're having a wonderful time.
Very nice. It's lovely to connect with some wonderful people, actually. You know, in this movement, we all know so many people, of course, and it's you're all there for a bigger cause, but you also get to go out to dinner and things, which is wonderful.
Yes, and thank you very much for this interview. I am greatly honored.
Oh, well, thank you, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you. And I also want to thank you for writing Vistopia.
Yes, I think a lot of people, including myself, are very grateful.
Yes, and I really enjoyed the book.
Fantastic.
We're listening to the music of Auna, a vegan activist on the Mediterranean coast in Spain. This is Mercy on Me. The song is about mercy for all the animals, human and non-human alike. So thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation, and we are very fortunate to be joined by Claire Mann via Skype in Cambria, Australia. Welcome, Claire, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you very much. Wonderful to be here, and I love the show.
Oh, thank you. And I can speak for myself and many others who are really grateful that you are a vegan psychologist and also a vegan author.
Thank you. Yes, I think there actually are a few around the world, but they're a little bit afraid of coming out, which has always surprised me. Perhaps they're working in organizations or they're in specific jobs, so they don't have the independence perhaps to market themselves in a way to say that, but also feel that they would be giving away too many of their values. And yet when they talk to people, they obviously want to bring in the imperative of veganism from many different angles. So my aim is to encourage more people to come out and help others.
And also that you're a communications trainer. That helps us a lot too.
Thank you. Yes, I've been running a communications company for a long time, really on having the conversations that matter. So being vegan and speciesism and creating a more compassionate world is a conversation that certainly needs to be had much in more wider circles.
Yes, and isn't it just amazing in every circle I'm in how the conversation that is the most important in the world to have about veganism, which is nonviolence, and about this transition of coming out of our past paradigm of normalized violence into this new vegan paradigm of normalized nonviolence, and yet the conversation isn't there. So you're bringing that conversation into the mass consciousness. Thank you, Claire Mann.
Thank you. It's I think I'm standing, as so many people are, on the shoulders of giants. People have been working in this area for so long, And I see this sort of collective uprising, and we're all bringing our gifts to the table. So for me to be able to talk about the conversations that matter, to help people find the language, to engage with people, have people what I call leaning forward and saying, tell me more, it's much better than us being accused really of preaching to people when we're not. We're just saying that, when did compassion become something to say we can't talk about it? So I see this growing from strength to strength as everyone brings their different gifts. And I'm really interested, we're talking about this professional area. I know you've got some areas you'd like us to explore today. And I think it's really important, because people that are in a situation where they are almost compelled because of the demands of their job to in some way collude with less than sort of ethical or kind practices.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that discussion as well. Let's start out with the definition of dystopia.
Thank you. I created this word really because it sounds a little bit, as we know, like utopia or dystopia. And really, if I explain that, it'll create a context of why this word's come about. When we think about a utopia, it's a place of joy and freedom and abundance and kindness. It's one of the things existential writers write about, but also the dark side would be a dystopia, a world of darkness and greed and selfishness and totalitarianism. I believe that vegans wake up one day when they become aware of the systematized cruelty towards animals, and it goes beyond that as well. And so dystopia is the anguish someone feels when they find out about the systematized cruelty in our society. And then it gets compounded, because as we talk to people about this trance-like collusion with a world of darkness and greed and speciesism and mass cruelty and sadism that these people don't even realize they're part of, but then ridicule the vegan for being pushy or telling them what to do. But of course it goes even further, because the vegan realizes, well, if I didn't know about all this going on and went along for so many years and it's on such a mass scale, what else don't I know about? So then they get criticized again, compounding their anguish, because they're called their conspiracy theorists and they don't trust things, or they're cynical, when in fact they've opened their eyes and said, what else don't I know?
Yes, and also about coining the word dystopia as a proactive measure so it doesn't get pathologized. Can you talk about that, please?
Well, that was really important, because for a couple of days a week, I see clients one-to-one. Increasingly, of course, they're vegans, because once I've put myself out there, people often, well, they very invariably don't want to talk to a non-vegan psychologist, not just about dystopia, but about life in general. And what I found, largely because as veganism is growing around us, doctors started to refer people to me saying they had eating disorders, social adjustment disorders, because they wouldn't eat the foods that their family were eating because they were refusing to eat animal products. And I could see very soon, if doctors were starting to talk in those circles, that these were sort of manifestations of other psychological illnesses, so to speak, that very soon they would come up with a term to pathologize it, say it's wrong, it's not normal, and therefore we must create medication to stamp it out. Now, we really are entering a totalitarian world when we start to try and stamp compassion out, as I'm sure you would and your listeners would go along with. So I realized I had to get in there pretty quick. And my background and training as an existential psychotherapist in the UK enabled me to have a language to say this is an existential experience, i.e. we wake up one day and everything we know to be true isn't. We are here, the philosophy of existing is what existentialism is about. And actually, this is when your world has been so shaken that you almost don't recognize it. And then the anguish of feeling excluded from people that you love, that otherwise kind, but they're colluding with this darkness. And so having put that term out there, I'm now entering the sort of psychology circles and just about to give a paper, actually, at the Compassion Conference at University of Queensland. There was nothing on animal compassion and kindness and sentience. And so we're talking about dystopia there as a way to extend compassion to the world.
I would like to discuss about the vegan professionals who are in jobs and careers where their dystopia is in full force, because not only are they experiencing the collusion by their colleagues or students, but also being censored or silenced by administrators or department heads, etc. So it's the double whammy of dystopia. Can you talk about that, please?
Absolutely. It's interesting, as you're asking this question, I'm thinking about people I've talked to, either clients or colleagues, and I'm thinking of some people in research departments and universities where they have been silenced. And so the individual's caught in a much bigger system, of course. And that's why I'm glad I've extended Vestopia and its terminology to go beyond our individual experience. Because I believe, and for many people it's quite obvious, we're born into a socioeconomic slavery. A system that works very well in dumbing us all down to not ask questions. Most people are scrabbling around trying to keep their jobs, keep a roof over their head, feed their children, and have some meaningful life. And it's getting more difficult, it would seem, to do that. I think it was Upton Sinclair who said in the book The Jungle, it's almost impossible to get a person to see something when their salary depends on them not seeing it and not knowing it. So I think we've got to look at the bigger issue. And I think maybe that's a way for professionals to start talking about it. If they start talking about individual practices or what people are eating or, for instance, let me just give you a quick example. I had a client recently who was a nurse, a male nurse, and he was working in a cancer ward with children. And they were giving them chicken nuggets for lunch. And he said, I really cannot work here anymore. It's so many levels is this almost horrific abuse, as we know, of animals. But the horrific abuse of these young people, the very thing that probably science would tell us is contributed to their illnesses, these children are then being given that again, purely out of ignorance, and this is how we do it, and the medical profession is saying that's how it needs to be.
Thank you, Claire. Yes, a friend was recently telling me that he experienced the dystopia in the animal wellness field, who the professionals are dealing primarily with dogs, cats, and horses. And he was the only vegan. And at the conference, everybody else but him was eating the flesh and reproductive secretions, which are dairy and eggs. And he tried to bring up that conversation, and it was the typical denial, and you can't talk about this, and it was dystopia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's interesting, and I've talked to a colleague recently, and he went to a big environmental conference, and they were all tucking into their steak. Just that direct link, and there is milk in their coffee, and this with the environment. And it's the ignorance. And I think that there's so many research grants attached to this for them keeping up with that system. They don't want to question things. I think our education systems, they stop people asking questions and going along and purely competing with each other for jobs, as opposed to creatively looking for solutions. Vegans, I think, they're breaking that sort of trance, and they will get a lot of backlash. So I encourage people to ask questions is, have you ever wondered, you know, when they say conference, have you ever wondered why we eat this? You know, we look after horses, dogs and cats and kittens, and yet we don't do it for that. Have you ever wondered? Oh, well, that's how it is. Yeah, but have you ever wondered, where did that come from? And so it becomes a very much, we're having just a dialogue here, as opposed to us holding that information. And it's often people resist us in the moment, but they go away and think about this.
Thank you, Claire. That helps a lot. Yes, to ask questions about it. Yeah, that's helpful. And another area that it's very common and very frustrating for many vegans is the holistic health community. So I'd like you to talk about that, whether we're talking about the New Age movement or the yoga movement or body work movement or, you know, affirmations, you know, that whole holistic health scene that talks a lot about higher consciousness and compassion, and yet try to bring up veganism and it's the same reaction that I've experienced and many others have experienced as every other circle of professionals.
Absolutely. I remember being reconnecting with a colleague that was had been part of an abundance circle, and it was, you know, about encouraging people to, you know, come into their, how they thought their thoughts were affecting what they were bringing into their lives, but also being generous to other people. And she was talking about spiritual issues and meditation and higher purpose. And yet her blood type needed her to eat certain foods, which were the secretion and flesh of animals. And I could feel my sort of, you know, my back go up sort of thing. And if I had very eloquently taken her to task, that would only have resulted in resistance. And so I asked her the question, it's interesting, isn't it? We're looking at compassion, we're looking at this, and yet it seems to be quite limited where we decide what will be good for us. And then she brought out some things about God telling us we have dominion over the animals. And I luckily was able to draw back to my father's own quote, which is actually dominion means guardianship. It doesn't mean taking over. And we want people to change. And this is kind of a little bit of advice for people, is if it needs to move beyond the intellectual discussion, because just logically, people should just hear about one thing and they should become vegan right away. One act of cruelty should be enough in my book. But they resist this. And so often people don't know. We've got to get them to emotionally connect with the information. And if I say to people, so have you ever actually seen how this food, where this food comes from? And they say, oh, yes, well, I really don't want to think of it. But, you know, I think we kind of need to, because we take our children to orchards, but we don't take them to abattoirs. Have you got any idea what goes on? You know, and as soon as you say those words, they have to in some way get an emotional or an image or association with the word abattoir. And so if we say to them that, and it has to then come out of their mouths, they have a greater ability to reconnect with what we're talking about, as opposed to us just telling them. And I think that's really important.
We're listening to Claire Mann, a vegan psychologist based in Sydney, Australia. She is the author of Vistopia, The Anguish of Being Vegan in a Non-Vegan World. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. After this short break, we'll continue our conversation with Claire.
Hi, this is Judy Middleton from Western Australia. This is WCUW, Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts.
We invite you to ride with us on our magic carpet for a musical trip to the Near and Middle East on the first Saturday of each month right here on WCUW. Hi, I'm Ed Malikian, hoping you'll join me on Music of the Whole Earth the first Saturday of each month from 4 to 6 p.m. at 91.3 FM and online at WCUW.org.
Welcome back from the break. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts, and I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. We're very fortunate to be joined by Claire Mann via Skype in Australia. Claire is a vegan psychologist, and she is the author of Vistopia, The Anguish of Being Vegan in a Non-Vegan World.
So really, I look at it in a way as that people have a different bandwidth of compassion. Our job is to expand it. For some people, it only goes as far as themselves, and it might go to their children or their loved ones or people of the same nationality or country. Then it might go to people outside. Then really what we're looking at as vegans is we're extending that to all living creatures, including Mother Earth. So our job is to just expand their level of compassion. And one way is to find out is what are they compassionate about? I've come across hunters and ex-slaughterhouse workers who will burst into tears, the biggest sort of macho guy, when he's talking about his little dog, for instance. That's a chink of consciousness. And if we fan those flames, we know that people from all walks of life need to get that ha-ha moment. And it's very interesting when that happens. It's often not expected.
Oh, yes. And I'd like to share a conversation I had today that was unexpected, and it was joyful to hear this. And it was a hunter who told me that he was living in a cabin all summer, and the turkeys and the deer would come up to him all summer, and he really started to change. And then one day his friends were hunting several miles in the vicinity, and this big buck came running up to his property, and it was obvious that the buck was running to that location for safety, and he took out his gun. He was like, got it ready to shoot, and he just had that aha moment. He was like, what am I doing? He put his gun down and gave it away and never hunted again.
Oh, what a wonderful story. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. And so speaking of that, of people having a change of heart, and a lot of them it's coming through just naturally, and others it's because of all the beautiful work of many organizations, including Anonymous for the Voiceless. And when I see the education that Anonymous for the Voiceless does, especially through the Cube of Truth, I think it's wonderful.
The good news now for challenging education systems, we are entering the age of respect, i.e. people are not automatically saying that person is an authority. I have been told that, therefore I must accept it. The vegan comes along in as saying that we need to question much, much more. They come up against, I think, about a particular resistance, because we come along and then we say, for something three times a day they have been able to do and nobody questions it, which is what they put in their mouths. And so in terms of our education systems, in terms of our pharmaceuticals and our medication, vegans are massive social disruptors. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are holding the key, really, for people to make kinder choices And I can't think of one problem in the world that doesn't get solved by us changing our health, our consciousness, our kindness, our environment. And yet we're going to get a lot of resistance. But the good news is, it's bad in one sense at the moment. Everyone's following it to the dark side and moving more into a dystopia. We're offering the potential for change. Not everyone will come to this through consciousness, but they will change their behavior. And so we have to just keep going. And the Cuba Truth is wonderful. I take part in that in Sydney. There's the opportunity for people to see the image and to, instead of resist the messenger and have an intellectual dialogue, they emotionally have to experience their emotions in relation to what they've seen, if only for a few moments. There's the potential for change.
Claire, thank you very much for this conversation. And we're coming to a close in the interview. Is there an additional message that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Stay strong. Right is on our side. Take your craft. Have every conversation every day purposefully. Just feel that we're nudging people towards the tipping point. All of us are needed in this beautiful raising of consciousness. So I encourage you to get out there and also look at a resource that I've created called Vegan Voices, vegan-voices.com. Free 30 days of how to have the conversations that matter. You can either get that on through the website or in the smartphone app, Vegan Voices.
Beautiful. And what other contact information do you have for our listeners?
Thank you. Well, if listeners want to get hold of a copy of the book, they can either get a physical copy, but it's also available on Kindle and Kobo, and due to come out in an audiobook, actually, in a couple of weeks' time. So it's really vistopia.com, but also veganpsychologist.com. And I have lots of programs and resources to help people come into their power to increase their self-awareness and then develop the linguistic mastery to influence others to change.
Thank you, Claire. This has been a great joy. I'm greatly honored for your presence on Vegan Nation. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I actually have a closing question for you. One of the aspects of veganism that I'm most interested in is the connection of veganism in creating the utopia of helping to solve humanity's crises and atrocities that have been going on century after century, millennia after millennia. And I do see that connection. And yet, I have experienced a lot of resistance from many people in the social justice movement who don't see any connection of veganism to helping to overcome all the problems of racism and sexism and on and on and on with all the isms. And of course, violence and war and all of it. And so can you please help me with communication of how I can ask them a question that can open up that sense and understanding of interconnectedness on this level? Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, it's always asking questions. And we want the resistance of people to come down, that it'll get in through that chink of consciousness. So using words like I'm bewildered or I'm just wondering, it looks as if the questioner is, and they should be, open to a discussion, to being enlightened in some way. And raising it to a higher level is really important. All of us may look at feminists who drink milk and we shake our heads and see that people can't see the hijacking of the female reproductive system. So if people can only see one issue, and if people only see one issue at a time and put the animal speciesism aside, then it's a bit like fornicating for virginity. If we can raise it to a higher level for people, we either believe in cruelty or we don't, and we believe in superiority or we don't. If we keep those as the mainstay of any argument, any discussion, any dialogue, we are really moving people to open their eyes about those issues. There is clearly a connection, as vegans can see, with the intersectionality of these issues. So racism, sexism, ageism, body sizeism, speciesism, they're all the same issues. We either believe in cruelty or we don't, and we believe in superiority or we don't. If we can raise the discussion to that level, is we're looking at superiority, really, and marginalization. And talk to people in the language they understand. So if people are very passionate about sexism or racism, ask them lots of questions about it. Find the little points at which really disturb them about those different levels of superiority, and then tease in the issues around animals. And so if someone is talking about the marginalization of people of color, for instance, it's in the entrenched ways of, you know, through our recruitment and systems and education systems. And we can find out what they're passionate about and say, So really, we're talking about superiority here. We're talking about making preferences of one living entity over another, us as individuals. And I'd like to open up the conversation where we actually talk about all sentient beings, because it seems to me that that sort of veil of superiority is now being taken beyond humans to look at animals. What if we can have a conversation about that? And so it's not done as, hey, look, what about animals? You know, we're sort of using them too, and it's the same issue. It becomes a fight. And in fact, people resist us. When we open it up and we dialogue, holding that in our mind that we believe in superiority or we don't, and we believe in cruelty or we don't, we can tease that reality back into the conversation.
Thank you, Claire. Very, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a delight to be on the show. And just I encourage everyone to just keep going. Right is on our side. We are reaching a tipping point when we will see, and we are seeing, exponential change.
We're listening to Claire Mann, a vegan psychologist in Sydney, Australia. Claire is also a communications trainer, and she is the author of Vistopia, The Anguish of Being Vegan in a Non-Vegan World.
You being vegan in a non-vegan world.
Thank you, Claire, for joining us on Vegan Nation. I look forward to following your work, and you're just amazing. Thank you so much.
You too. And you know, I think we've got so much to talk about, because it is that bigger issue. We need to break this socioeconomic slavery, and I'd love to talk about that on the show sometime.
Oh, I would love that too. So yeah, let's plan on more interviews, like maybe a focus for each interview, because I really am interested in that. I'm a World Peace Diet facilitator of Will Tuttle, the World Peace Diet. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's
absolutely, definitely.
Yeah, okay. Wonderful. So that connection of the socioeconomic slavery is like when we enslave the animals, then we're enslaved. I'd like to talk more, have another session talking just about misogyny and the exploitation of the females and all that. So that'd be great.
That'd be wonderful. I'd really look forward to it. I must go now.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we connected.
And, me too.
I look forward to our future collaborations.
Yes, thank you, Cleo. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Yarrow, wishing you a good day.
Vegan Nation is sponsored in part by Sea Koi Beach Massage, advocating social justice for all living creatures. Massage on the beach, at your rental villa, or at the historic Club Comanche Hotel St. Croix, because your tropical vacation should be filled with relaxation. Online at massagestcroix.com.
Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation. A shout out to the official Animal Rights March in Sydney, Perth, Adelaide, Berlin, LA, Miami, Manila, Toronto, Asheville, Amsterdam, and more.
And learn to collaborate. If we want to go fast, we go on our own. If we want to go far, we must do this together.
10,000 vegans marched in London last weekend, and more to come worldwide.
Something about it. He said to me, that I am beautiful.
Fighting for animal rights, it's a place, cause I believe in healing and I don't conceive of killing.
That was Illy Rap with A Bite of Hope. Let's go out with Sunta Africa.
All you have to do is choose compassion.
Go vegan.
When will you open your heart? When will you realize I want to be free? When will you open your eyes? When will you decide to see the truth? When will you open your eyes and see me for what I am? I'm just like you. When will you change your life? When will you change mine? When will you change your life? It's the only way.